welcome to Bangor Community Church Podcast. We pray that you will be blessed today as you hear the Word of God.
Well, this morning, we're going to go straight into the Word, and we're just going to bless the Lord. I want to talk about the Kingdom of God. I'm taking a different slant from Pastor's series. I'm not taking over from Pastor's series. I'm just giving you from a different slant, the Kingdom of God. And I really just want to talk about a story, a biblical Old Testament story, and draw some conclusions from that. But you know, our vision is very important, right? I'm talking about our natural vision. You know, as a kid, if there was one thing to make you squirm, it would have been something around the eyes. It would have been me anyway. You know, something sticking in your eye. Your vision is very important and your sight is very important. And I've always felt very confident about my sight, right? I've always felt I've had good sight. I've been blessed with good vision, good natural sight. And I would always be confident to have sort of competitions with family members, kids and all. Can you see that? I can see that. Who can see the furthest? Just joking around. Confident that I've got good eyesight and strong eyesight and everything else. But you know, recently, it's nothing to do with my age. I'm still a young buck. But recently, I do a lot of work on computer. All day I'm on computer. And the last month or two, my eyes, by the end of the day, they're killing me, right? I'm doing this, I'm rubbing, and I need to actually close my eyes, and they're strained. I'm struggling. And it's not that I can't see. My vision's still good, but I'm starting to like wonder, do I need an eye test? So Deborah's booked me in for an eye test. I think it's this week, and I'll find out what's going on. But vision is important. It's important to me. It's important to most people. It's important to most of our jobs and everything else. And to be able to see correctly and the ability to focus on a certain thing, whether it's from a distance or close up, is really important. Even here, you're just reading, it's important that you have the ability to look and then focus in, right? Your eyes do that all by themselves. They can see perspectively, right? So I can see broadly. And I have the ability, really without thinking about it, to zone that focus right in to maybe a number or a letter on this page, right? And then I lift my eyes and straight away I'm looking from a perspective and a breadth. The eyes are amazing and the ability to be able to focus is amazing. Well, this morning I believe the Lord is checking your sight. He's going to check your sight this morning. He's looking and he's checking your focus. He's aligning his omniscient eye, right, with the eye of your heart. And he's looking into your eye right now. And he's testing your sight. He's testing your vision this morning. He's checking the focus of your eye, right? He's checking that everything, the lenses, everything is correctly focused, has all the capacity to correctly focus on the right thing, right? See, he is looking to see if we are kingdom focused, right? Are our eyes calibrated to the right ability to focus on his kingdom? Are we kingdom focused this morning? The Lord is asking, he's looking into the eye of your heart, he's aligning his omniscient eye, and he's going, is it aligned with the kingdom? Are your eyes aligned with the kingdom this morning? Now that's not a challenge, right? Because it's not a measure up statement. You know, sometimes you can think, oh, I have to measure up the do's and the don'ts. God's not interested in so much of the doing. It's more about the being, right? He isn't looking to see if we are somehow measuring up with how much we've done and how we look and how we look as a godly person and as a Christian. He's looking at the heart. He's looking if we're correctly aligned. I mean, we can be Christians, and thank God that most, if not all of us, are Christians this morning, but yet not be focused on the kingdom of God. We could have a heart just to be in praise and worship, the heart to just be a servant in God's house, and they're all right, and they have their place. But is the eye of our heart focused on God's kingdom? I'm going to look at this morning. So I'm not talking about rules and regulations. I'm not talking about how well we measure up. Turn with me to Jeremiah 6, verse 16. The Holy Spirit, right, if you're just taking notes, this is really what it comes down to. The Holy Spirit is looking for those who both see the kingdom and are prepared to walk in it. Seeing and walking in it. Jeremiah 6:16. Thus saith the Lord, stand in the ways and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. Then you will find rest for your souls. What's that talking about? We're in Jeremiah, right? Jeremiah 6. So this is around a period of time when the Israel is about to be invaded by the Babylonians, Nebuchadnezzar, and carried away, right? And Jeremiah was, at the time, the prophet of doom. He wasn't quite liked so much because he brought this word of condemnation quite often. And in amidst the passage of chapter 6, when he was kind of prophesying what's going to happen, he comes with a lifeline. And he says, thus says the Lord, this is from the Lord, stand in the ways. In other words, position yourself in the way and see and ask for the old paths where the good way is and walk in it. And there you will have rest for your souls. It reminds me of another scripture that says, Psalm 18 verse 30, as for God, his way is perfect. The word of the Lord is tried, isn't it? He's a proven God. He is who he says he is. Proverbs 4 verse 18 says, the path of the just, that's you and me. Can anyone finish it? Is like a shining light. We're the shining light. We're the church. The path of the just, the way that we're talking about, the path, the old paths that we're talking about is the path of the just, to be like a shining light, to shine ever brighter. We are to grow brighter and brighter as we approach the coming of the Lord. That's what it says in Proverbs, that shines ever brighter unto that perfect day. Hallelujah. You see, we're living in a season. We're living in a season of Christ's imminent return. And when to understand that, if we have revelation of what that really means, we should be living, the church that is, needs to live every day as though Christ is going to return. And my challenge this morning is, if you knew, we don't know, but let's say you knew tonight Jesus was going to return on the stroke of midnight. Let's say we knew that. What would you do for the rest of your day? How do we think about that? Wow, that's quite interesting, isn't it? How would that adjust our focus? So we're living in a season of Christ's return where the just who live by faith eagerly await his coming. Eagerly await his coming. Philippians 3:20 says, our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior. You know, he's coming again. And our heart is the path of the justice to be like a shining light that shines ever brighter. And that we are eagerly awaiting the coming of Jesus Christ. He's coming again, church, and he's coming so soon. And our focus needs to be calibrated, not from a sense of fear, but a sense of eagerness. It says we are eagerly awaiting the Messiah, the second coming of the Savior. So we are to live every day like Jesus is coming again. This is a challenge for us. This is something that we need to refocus, recalibrate our vision, our hopes, our dreams need to be recalibrated around this concept of how do we live every day? How are you living your day? I know for me how I live my day. I know the adjustments that would be required in my life and in my home. If I would be honestly able to say, my life is lived in a way that's eagerly awaiting the second coming of Jesus, and I live every day expecting him at midnight. So how would you live your day if you expected him at midnight? So I'm still on Jeremiah 6, verse 16. Just pop it up again there, please. So it says to stand in the way, position themselves. You know, if God told them, and if we're going to benefit from these old paths, what are these old paths? You know, we get so caught up in the bling of life and the cool ways and the ways of doing church and this and, you know, the latest look of a sanctuary and the best sounds and all that's super. I'm for it. I'm behind that. But let us never make no mistake. That is not the focus of the kingdom. It helps. It contributes. It aids. It helps us reach people. It helps us provide an environment that people can receive. So all of that is good, but it is not necessarily the focus of the kingdom. We are to position ourselves, stand in the way, to look for them. These are the old and the ancient paths, to see them, to ask, and to walk in them. Okay, so, you know, God's way is perfect. Only God's way is perfect. And when we consider his kingdom, the kingdom of God in Romans 14, verse 17 says, the kingdom of God is not food and drink, we know this, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. See, what that's saying is that the kingdom of God is not food and drink. We're not concerned, it's not concerned about your everyday living. It's not concerned, really. It's not really concerning the normal life we live every day. That's just stuff we do. But the real kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. The real kingdom. If you really need an answer, if you really need an answer to the kingdom of God or to your circumstances, you got to position yourself in his way. You got to seek after the old ways. He's an ancient God. He's from everlasting to everlasting. He's the Alpha and the Omega. Let's not think we're above it and clever because we've got a few fandangled bits of gear that makes us sing pretty or look prettier or whatever it is. God's not interested. He's interested in the heart. Are we aligned? Is our focus aligned to the kingdom of God? It's a challenge for us all, aligning ourselves to the kingdom of God. So don't let the temporal crowd out the eternal. God is an eternal God. He's been there. He's the everlasting. He's the ancient of days. And his ways are perfect. Now, so when I say these things, the old paths, the old ways, I'm talking about a different dimension. There's a concept called Hebrew or hermeneutics, right? And this is where the study of the of Scripture and the Torah has three main components to it, or four main components to it. And you've got number one, which is the simple and plain, right? When things are presented through Scripture in a very simple and plain manner, like the parables, right? Then number two, you've got the sort of the philosophical and the mystical, right? It's hinting at something in the Scripture. Something is being alluded to. It's not so clear. And then you've got the third, which is the commentary and the written and the like the narrative aspect to it. And then you've got the fourth, and the fourth is the deep and hidden things, the things that are there that only the Holy Spirit is going to reveal through Rhema word. There's aspects to Scripture when we read it. Yes, read it with literal interpretation because God wants to speak to us plainly. I believe God does want to speak to us plainly. He doesn't want to wrap things up, but there are things that he does want us to search out. And we are able to read Scripture. We are able to take a Scripture like Jeremiah 6:16 And whilst it's saying something about the children of Israel at that time, I want to take it out of that context, and I want to plant it right here in the middle of your situation. You know, unless you're in God's path, unless you are mindful about being focused on His journey, on His path, and not only are you able to see it, but you're able to walk in it. Until we are able to do that, we're not going to have the answers. We're not going to have breakthrough. We're not going to be able to see and function in the kingdom as God has designed us to function. We got to be kingdom focused, and God's calibrating and wants to calibrate our focus this morning. So we are to live righteously in union with the Holy Spirit, eagerly awaiting the return of Jesus. That is how you guarantee your peace and joy. Righteousness, peace, and joy. We're already righteous. And to guarantee that peace and joy, we've got to be in union with the Holy Spirit. Romans 14 says, righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. When we're in the Holy Spirit, yes, we're righteous today. When we're in the Holy Spirit, we are guaranteed, when we have union with the Holy Spirit, we are guaranteed that peace and that joy. I want to just really pull out a story this morning. It's Genesis 24. It's a story that you'll know from Sunday school. It's Abraham and Isaac. And if you remember, Isaac needed to find a wife. Isaac's wife was called Rebekah. If you remember the story of Abraham's servant, Eliezer. He was the chief of the household, if you like, head of the household. And actually, he was a faithful man, a faithful servant to Abraham, and he kind of took care of administered all of Abraham's affairs. And you know, when Abraham came out of the Chaldeans, came out of Ur and moved towards Canaan, right, which is where they settled, Canaan, actually, just to let you know that the land of Canaan, which eventually became the Promised Land, was actually where the people of Ham dwelt, right? I mentioned Ham. Ham were not the line of the blessed line. They were actually cursed, right? And the line of Shem, which I mentioned at the very start, actually was from the area of the Chaldeans or Assyria, which is where Abraham had migrated or moved away from when God told him to leave his father's house and to move away. So it's interesting that he was actually moved away from where his people, the line of Shem, dwelt. And he came and he lived over in Canaan. And he said to his, in chapter 24, I'm going to paraphrase a lot and then I'll break in and I'll read some scripture. And his servant was actually from Damascus, Eliezer, and he was a faithful servant. He actually stood to inherit all of Abraham's wealth. Now, Abraham was, you know, he had reached an age and he was old, right? He was old by the time he'd even had Isaac. Now, at this time, Sarah, Isaac's mother, has passed away, and Abraham realizes, God's promise, I remember God's promise, is to the descendants, right? His promise is it would be as numerous as the stars for his glory. And he would ponder these things, and he reached the conclusion, hey, God, something has to happen here. Because if Isaac can't just marry somebody from the line of Ham, he needs to marry somebody from his kindred home, which is back in Assyria, back the way. So he said this, he said to Eliezer, I trust you above anybody else. Swear to me that you will find a wife for Isaac. Not here. He cannot marry a person from here. You need to go home to my kindred and you need to find a wife for Isaac. What a task, right? He was and he understood as well what this was all about. It wasn't just a wife for Isaac. This was the whole messianic line was going to come through this. He had to get this right. So he had a task and a half to have to do. And it shows you also the heart of Eliezer, because he stood to inherit all this stuff And by getting a child for Isaac, you know, a wife and a child for Isaac, it ensured the downline. So let's break in. We'll break in at verse 10. Now, in this kind of story, I want to draw a couple of parallels. Abraham is a type, right? He's a type of God the Father. Isaac, well, we know, we've heard this before. Isaac is a type of Jesus Christ, Messiah. And Eliezer is a type of the Holy Spirit, right? So Abraham, the father, says to Eliezer, swear to me this day that you will do this. And he swore. And in verse 10, it says, then the servant took 10 of his master's camels and departed, for all his master's goods were in his hand. You see, when Abraham sent Eliezer, he sent him with all his wealth, all of his produce, all of his goodness, or a representation of his wealth and all of his goodness and everything that he was. And he sent it. He packed up the 10 camels and he went to this place. Now, Mesopotamia, or to the city of Nahor, was approximately 700 kilometers away. We reckon it would have taken about a month just to get there. And so he arrived in verse 11 and he made his camels kneel down outside the city by a well of water at evening time, the time when the women would go out to draw water. And then he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham. It's interesting language. The servant Eliezer was from Damascus. He was Syrian. So it's interesting language. Did he believe in God himself? I assume he did. Please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here. He's positioned himself. I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men of the city are coming out to draw water. So how on earth was he going to start his errand by trying to choose this wife? What was this going to be his mechanism? How was he going to, is it just going to be their natural beauty? And how was he going to find this lady? And remember, this lady is going to have to want to come back with this man on these donkeys, 700 kilometers on a donkey for a whole month to meet a man she's never heard of or seen or whatever else, right? That's going to be a feat and a half. But first he has to find the woman. He has to find the wife. Let's see how he does it. Then he said, Lord God of my master Abraham, please give me success this day and show kindness to my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city are coming out to draw water. Now let it be that the woman, young woman to whom I say, please let down your pitcher that I may drink. And she says, drink, and I will give your camels a drink. Let her be the one whom you have appointed for your servant Isaac. And by this I will know that you have shown kindness to my master. You know, kindness is one of the languages of the Holy Spirit here. And it's really interesting the way that we've seen him position himself in the way, right? And now he's asking. He's asking how this is going to happen. He's saying, look, please let it be that if it happens this way, this is the person. So he's laid out a fleece, if you like. He's asking for a way to determine who this wife will be. And it happened, and this is brilliant, before it even finished speaking in his heart, that behold, Rebekah, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, came out with her pitcher on her shoulder. Now, the young woman was very beautiful to behold, okay? Now, interestingly, he didn't mention about any of that in his request. She just happened to be absolutely stunning. She was a virgin, no man had known her, and she went down to the well. All right, now that's not insignificant. She went down to the well, filled her pitcher, and came back up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, please let me drink a little water from your pitcher, please. So she said, drink, my lord. And then she hastened right? Look at the attitude here. Look at the heart. Then she hastened and let her pitcher down to her hand and gave him a drink. And when she had finished giving him a drink, she said, I will draw water for your camels also until they have finished drinking. He's on to a winner here. But look, she hastened. She ran. She hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough. Look at the words say. She ran back to the well. So she ran back down to the well with her pitcher, filled it up again, ran back up the trough, emptied the water in. Yeah, ran back to the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. How many camels were there? 10 camels. Do you know how much a camel drinks by any chance? Right? So the camels have just come 700 kilometers, right? Camels haven't drank yet. This is a test. He's actually stacking the cards against God almost. He's saying, look, I'm not going to find, this has got to have to be a special lady. He's going to give me a drink and give all of my 10 camels a drink. Right? 20 to 30 gallons a camel will drink in one bout. Right? So let's assume water weighs 8 pounds per gallon. And let's assume Rebecca's pitcher holds 3 gallons. Right? So she can carry 3 gallons in a pitcher down to the well, back up to the well, into the trough. How many times, Deborah, does she have to do it for 10 camels? I'll tell you. Close. So she had to do, so let's assume Rebecca had three gallon pitcher. We don't know. She potentially had to run down and back up to the well 6 times. 6 times. For 1 camel. There were 10 camels. 60 times, well, back, well, back. 60 round trip. All right, you two, okay, we've said it's 60, it's not 100, it's 60. The next verse, I'm stunned at the next verse. I mean, I'm amazed right now, right? For me, I would be saying, that's the one. Lord, put a ring on it. He actually did, Debbie. He did put a ring. But will you see Eliza's response? I'm going, are you crazy? He goes, and drew what? This is verse 21, end of verse 20, and drew water for all his camels. And verse 21, and the man, wondering at her, thinking, are you crazy? Remained silent so as to know whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. What is there to wonder about? Look what she's just done. That's crazy. This is no ordinary woman. There's something special. Not only is this an answer to prayer, but she is an extraordinary woman. It's one thing to be able to, yes, give the traveler a drink and show that kindness and show that mercy. And in fact, it would be another gesture of goodwill to empty the rest of that pitcher into the trough to start letting the camels feed, or maybe do another 60 runs to the well and back for the camels. I don't think I would do it, right? Would you? I don't, in the heat? I don't know. Special lady. And he was still wondering, could this be the woman? Get a ring on her finger, get it on quick before someone else gets her. Where are we? So, yeah, wondering. Okay, verse 22. So it was when the camels had finished drinking that the man took a golden nose ring and bracelets as well, and so on and so on. Anyway, so the story continues. He realizes that this is a God thing. He gets down and he worships God. He thanks God. In fact, he says it in verse 27. As for me, being on my way, what were we talking about in Jeremiah 6:16? Being on my way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. Right? So anyway, the story goes that he needed lodgings. He knew he was on the right track. I don't know what he was wondering about. He asks, can I come back to meet your family? So can I stay with you? Have you straw for me? And yes. Came back. The family were kind of overwhelmed at the beautiful gifts that the servant was able to give her. So they had the family's attention. He explains the whole story word for word, which you've just read, right from the promise of Abraham, right to needing the wife for Isaac, and why they've come back to the kindred homeland. And so they didn't disagree, and they saw the money, they saw the riches. You see, the 10 camels were laden with all the goodness that came out of Abraham. And Abraham represents God. I want to tell you, every good and perfect gift is already yours. Every promise is a good promise. It's yours. It belongs to you. And this was all being given as a blessing, as a gift to Rebecca and Rebecca's family. The long and the short is that Rebecca's family agreed to letting Rebecca go, but she hadn't been asked yet. So it came to the point, they wanted to hold on to her for another 10 days, and Eliezer wanted to get back, and he said, look, please release me, let me go, I need to be faithful to my master, let me go. And they said, okay, well, let's call Rebecca and let her decide. She can decide, does she want to go or does she want to stay? I'm glad they asked her. That's quite nice of them. So where are we? Verse 58. And we'll kind of read this to the rest of the passage. Then they called Rebecca and said to her, will you go with this man? And the man said, and she said, I will go. What a heart. Not only was she an extraordinary woman doing the feat that she did to a stranger she didn't know, without a care, without a seeking a reward, without a care for her own needs. But here, she realizes that there is a God thing at play here, and that God is asking her to accomplish this, to do this thing. And she says, yes, I will go. Three words, I will go. So they sent away Rebecca, their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant and his men. And they blessed Rebecca and said to her, the mother of thousands of 10,000s, and may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Do you know who Rebecca represents, guys? The church. She represents you and me. She's a special character in this whole story. Almost the gem that stands out, right? It's Rebecca. And Rebecca, in this scenario, in this parallel story, represents you and me. It's the church. And here, we are the mother of thousands of 10,000s. And may your descendants possess the gates of those who hate them. Then Rebecca and her maids arose, and they rode on the camels and followed the man. So the servant took Rebecca and departed. Now Isaac came from the way of Beer-Lahai-Roi, for he dwelt in the south. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening. And he lifted his eyes and looked, and there the camels were coming. And Rebecca, almost simultaneously, oh, this is a lovely story. Rebecca almost simultaneously lifted her eyes. And when she saw Isaac, she dismounted from her camel. And she had said to the servant, who is this man walking in the field to meet us? And she said, and the servant said, it is my master. So she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all the things that he had done. He was kept out of the whole story. Then Isaac brought her into the mother, Sarah's tent, and he took Rebecca, and she became his wife, and he loved her. So Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. Okay, so it's a lovely story. It's a lovely story in its own right. of these two, but the story that I'm paralleling is the story of Jesus, the bridegroom, Rebecca, the church, or Isaac, the bridegroom, who is Jesus, and Rebecca, the bride, who is the church. Jesus is coming again very soon, and he's coming for his bride. That's you and me. We're the church. And I'm encouraging you that we need to refocus our eyes to be kingdom-minded, kingdom-focused people that have a heart that's slow to speak, slow to anger, quick to hear, quick to repent, to have a heart like Rebecca that's able to say, where you lead me, I will go, Lord. Where you add what you ask of me, I will listen. I will position myself in your way, in your old paths. I will look for the old paths. I will look for your way, for it is perfect. I'm going to shine bright and even brighter until that perfect day. I'm going to ask of you, I'm going to see you, and I'm going to walk in your path. I'm going to walk after the kingdom of God. I'm going to see the kingdom of God. Are you a kingdom seer this morning? Do you see the kingdom? God is testing our eyes, I believe. God is testing our vision. Are we kingdom seers? Can we see the kingdom? And do we walk in his kingdom? The Holy Spirit is looking for that ability for us to see the kingdom correctly, focused. And what I'm saying today is stand out, church. Don't be a chameleon in this world. You know, a chameleon is the reptile that can blend into any environment, right? Depending on what that environment is, to stay safe. Stand out. Be bold. Dare. Be brave. It's an uncertain world we live in, but one thing is sure, that Jesus is on the throne and he's coming back for a bride that's perfect and beautiful. Not necessarily got all the right painting on the walls, got the best gear in the house, but the heart is aligned to God's plan and purpose. The heart is focused and calibrated on winning the lost, on being a sweet-smelling aroma in God's nostrils. Let's stand out like Rebecca stood out. It was bam. Who is this woman? 60 times. The attitude was to bless. It was to give over and above. To be a safe haven. To be a place of rest. To be a place of peace. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It's peace and it's joy. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is returning for that bride who has no spot, no wrinkle. The challenge this morning is, let's calibrate ourselves, calibrate our vision, calibrate our focus. The Lord's returning. And live every day like Jesus is going to return.
Thank you for joining us. We look to God that he will direct your steps in blessings through this week. For more information, visit us at bangercommunitychurch.co.uk or find us on Facebook.